Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. We're going to look at a little bit of Exodus 35 and a little bit of Exodus chapter 36 this morning, and that's on page 76 of your pew Bible. So you're here this morning, and I ask you, as you are here, what kind of work do you do, or what kind of work do you think you might do sometime out in the future? And I'll ask you this question. Does God care if you're a construction worker? Does that matter to Him? Does He care if you're a software engineer? Or does He care if you're a nurse or a teacher or a plumber or any number of things, even a minister of the gospel? Does God care what kind of work you do? And I would say to you, He cares about the work you do. He cares about the hobbies you do. He cares about the various activities that you do within the church. He cares about all of it. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that you formed my inward parts, meaning God formed mine and yours, all of our inward parts. You knitted me together. So God put us together in our mother's womb. So the psalmist writes, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So maybe you're sitting here this morning, you say, well, I wish I could do plumbing, or I wish I could sing, or I wish I could be an extrovert, or I wish I could be an introvert. Well, the person to argue with is the Lord. He is the one that made you the way you are. And the Lord looks at you however you are this morning, and He says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Keep on going, and He says, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Then He says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were they written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. God looks at you. God thinks about you. God cares about you and the way you are this morning. So this morning, maybe you feel like you've got too much acne, or maybe you feel like you're not as fast of a runner as you need to be, or you're not happy with the way your body looks. It's important to remember God made you the way you are, and God made you to do certain things in this world for His glory and for His kingdom. And so instead of saying, well, you know, I wish I was more like such and such, or I wish I could do such and such, what we need to do is look at who we are, what God has made us to be, and go and do that and to celebrate that and give glory to God as we do that. Now you say, what does this have to do with Exodus chapter 35 and 36? It has everything to do with it. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about this tabernacle, which is a forerunner of the temple and is actually a replica of something that's in heaven. And so we talked about how it was to be in a certain way. You know, there were a lot of intricate details there. But have you ever thought about the people God used to build that tabernacle? He used extroverts, He used introverts, He used people that were skillful and people that were not so skillful. Everyone had a job in the building of that tabernacle, and you see it talked about there in Exodus chapter 35. Look at Exodus chapter 35, scroll down and look at verse 30. And it says, then Moses said to the people of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he was filled with the Spirit of God and was skilled with intelligence and knowledge and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, for every work in every skilled craft. And He has inspired him to teach both him and Oholiab, the son of Abishamach, the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer or in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer. Now scroll on down and look at chapter 36. Bezalel and Oholiab, and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do his work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the Lord, that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing the freewill offerings every morning. Stop right there. What is the theme that you continue to see? The theme is that the Lord put those skills, He put that intelligence, He put that craftsmanship into these people. So as you're sitting here this morning, it's important for us to realize and to recognize every skill and intelligence is from God. Whatever skill, whatever ability, whatever level of intelligence you've got this morning, it comes from the Lord. Now go back to chapter 35 real quick and look at verse 10. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. So he's saying, he's talking about these people having these crafts, this craftsmanship, and he's saying it comes from him. Shift down to verse 35. He has filled them. So God has put these skills in them. He has filled them to do every sort of work. So whatever it would be, you know, every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer. And so scroll down and look at chapter 36, verse 1. Every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary. So the first thing to realize this morning, whatever it is that you're good at, don't walk around and say, I sure am good at that. You know, don't walk around and brag about it, because as the book of Deuteronomy says, you shall remember the Lord your God, saying you know how to do things. You are to remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. So God is the one that gives you the skills, that gives you the craftsmanship. It is He who gives you that intelligence that brings about wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. I am aware of a movie out called Doctor Strange. I don't know, probably no one in here has seen it, but I've heard it's out there. And I know something about this Doctor Strange fellow. Doctor Strange was a very skilled fellow. He was a surgeon, and he was a guy I have heard that could take a bullet out in the middle of someone's brain and just miraculously it not really hardly harm them. He could do things with his hands. He had good hand-eye coordination. He knew a lot. He knew a whole lot. But I've heard this Dr. Strange guy thought he was Mr. Big Shot, that it was all about him, that he was special, that he was smarter than everyone else, and in some ways he was, but he got that on his own by his own hard work. Don't ever forget, don't go the way of Dr. Strange, you know, in his early days. Don't ever forget that everything we know how to do, every ability that we have, it comes from the Lord. So maybe you can play ball well, you know, maybe you're a good plumber, maybe you are a good craftsman, maybe you're an outgoing person, maybe you can sing, you can play. Don't go thinking, well, boy, I'm pretty good at things. Realize that it's God who gave you that, and that you want to take that and use that for God's glory. Again, chapter 36, verse 1, middle part, in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction sanctuary. God gave them those abilities to do those things, and we want to realize He gives us those, gives us various abilities too. In Ephesians 2, the Lord says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is God's grace that He came down and saved you. This is not of your own doing. We did not do this on our own. God saved us. It is the gift of God. God has given us the gift of salvation. He goes on and says, it's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship. So you're sitting here this morning, God designed you a certain way. You've got a certain DNA. You're going to have a certain height. You're going to have a certain skill set. And God has given that to you. And as you notice here in the middle part of verse 10, we are His workmanship. So you're like clay that God is taking and designing and turning into something. He's already given you certain genes. He's already predisposed you to go in certain directions. But then He gives you certain experiences and certain training opportunities, and that's His workmanship molding you into what He wants you to be. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. So God has created you to do things that are good, okay? Not so that you're earning salvation, but so that you're on mission with the Lord. You're His workmanship. You were creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So before you were ever made, before you were ever born, before this world was ever created, God thought about you. He thought about what you would be like, and He thought about what He would have you do. Keep on going, and notice He says that we should walk in them. So you were made to be a certain way. So really, if you're a reader of the Scripture, and if you're noticing what's happening here in chapter 35 and chapter 36, you've got to say, what is it that God has made me like? What are the interests God has given me? What are the aptitudes that God has given me? What are my favorite subjects in school? What are my least favorite subjects in school? What are the hobbies I like? And to realize that God put those in there as part of His workmanship to take you and to use you in a certain way. I like what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night. Do not neglect the gift you have. So Timothy, you have certain gifts, okay? He was gifted to be a minister of the gospel. Do not neglect that. He was gifted to take the Scripture and to explain that, to read it aloud. Do not neglect that. But to you, whatever your gift is, don't neglect the gift that God has given you, He says to us. And so as we're sitting here this morning, every person in here is different. So we should not aspire. We can learn from other people, and we may be somewhat like other people, but we should not aspire to be just like someone else. You know, if only I could sing like this person, or if only I could write like this person. We should aspire to be the person God has made us to be, and we should not neglect the gifts that God has given us. So for you and I, the job for us is to look for your craft. Look for your craft. What is the craft that God has given you? And you say, I don't have any. You do. You've got something that God has given you. And so you're looking for that and you're trying to figure that out. And I do take you back to Exodus 35, verse 31. He has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge. Now, let's be real clear about this. We tend to think about craft or like in the church, or we tend to think about ministry as all things like preaching the Word and teaching the Word and singing about the Word and acting out the Word and so forth. And that's true. But I do want you to notice here in verse 31 of chapter 35 of Exodus, He has filled him with the Spirit of God. He's talking about the ability to make the tabernacle. I drive by and I was talking to Jared this weekend about the Catholic the Catholic Church over there by off Centennial Parkway. Right, it is a big thing, and it's a beautiful thing, I'll say that. A lot of skill involved in that. A lot of welding, you know, all kinds of skill. That is more aligned with what he's talking about here than many other things that we typically think about as God-given gifts. So the gift that he gave these people, these craftsmen, is coming from the Lord, and he's saying to us to look at that. So this has very serious implications. If God gave you the intelligence that you have, if God gave you the craftsmanship that you have, then there's implications for what you do when it comes to your hobbies, for what you do when you go and do your work. Over in the New Testament, Colossians 3 talked about it like this. Bondservants, you and I, in those days, it was thinking about slaves, but we would think about any worker. So he's basically saying, workers, obey in everything those who are earthly masters, not by way of eye service or men pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So in the New Testament, the Lord says, look, you're not to be the kind of worker that is slack when the boss is not there. You're the kind of worker that works whenever you're on the job as if you're working for God. You are working and you are doing your best. He says, not with eye service, end of verse 22, or as men pleasers, but you're actually working for God, God Almighty. You may be delivering bread. You may be fixing someone's pipes, but whatever it is you're doing it for God's glory. So look at verse 23. He just talked about the worker. They said, so whatever you do, work heartily. Whatever it is that you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the inheritance of your reward. Yes, you get paid, but it's God actually that looks and rewards. He goes on and says, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you work for Coca-Cola or Pepsi, you're not really working for them. You are in a way, but you're working for God. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there's no partiality. There was a fellow that ran his luxury ship, his cruise ship, aground. You know about this fellow, right? This is a guy, the captain's supposed to be the last person to get off a ship like that. He got off quickly and people died. You can be assured he was not doing his job thinking, I am doing it as for the Lord. I am to do it so well that I glorify God. He wasn't doing that. Now, on the other hand, you got a fellow like Captain Sullenberger. He was the last person to get off that plane, wasn't he? He was the fellow that put a lot into his craft. And in doing so, he honored and glorified God through his behavior, through his work on the job. So you're here this morning and you're thinking about, how do I impact my world? Well, we tell people about Christ, but also whether you're a student in school, whether you're doing a particular hobby, or whether you're someone that's going to a particular job site tomorrow, you go and you work well. And you work so well that people are like, you know, I understand. We haven't had a raise in 2 years. Or the teacher doesn't seem to like you. I don't understand why you're trying so hard. You're doing it because you're doing it for the Lord. And actually in doing so, you're fulfilling what 1 Peter chapter 3 says. Now, who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? So some people, bosses, teachers perhaps, you know, may give you a hard time. But he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. All right? Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts, so as you're doing whatever it is you're doing, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So 40 years ago, we would talk to people and we'd say, all right, try to get somebody aside at the break room and to give them the Romans Road of Salvation. Tell them about Jesus and explain to them explicitly the gospel. We want to continue to do that, but we live in a different kind of world today. We live in a world where people don't want to hear our gospel. They have no concept of the gospel. And so in many ways, what's going to happen in the way you do your schoolwork, the way you do your work when you're on the job, that's going to be the way that you get people's attention. Why do you try so hard? Why do you put so much into it? Because I believe God gave me this skill to do such and such, and I need to honor God in doing this. You're going to be the one that people are going to look at and ask questions about because you're so different than the regular worker today. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter wrote, as each has received a gift, every person that's a believer has a gift. And every person has certain genes and DNA, right? So he says, use it to serve one another. So take your gifts, Use it to help others. Use it to help co-workers. Use it to help classmates. Use it to help other people within the church as good stewards. So do not squander the gifts God has given you as good stewards of God's grace. I like it as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to fan it into flame." So to take the gift, fan it, get it going, use it, which is you through the laying, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so he's saying, you've got certain gifts. Go forth and use those things for God's will, for God's glory. Use them to help one another. Use them to serve one another. Use them for sure at your work site, but also especially use them at work or at church when you're at church. And let's just say something real. Let's get it real clear. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. All right, you just heard Jared play and sing for us. We've got kids in here that play the viola and the violins, and you just saw the Moser kids quote scripture. If you don't continue to do those kinds of things and use those kinds of things, you will lose it. Think about how many people have known a language and then they lose it because they've not used it. So he's saying to us, take this gift. Take the gifts God's given you. Use it to serve other people. You know, don't sit back on a pew. Get busy using it and fan it into a flame. Let it be used many times over. Now, another thing we need to get clear is celebrate every gift. Celebrate every gift. We go back to chapter 36. In the middle part, he says, "Know how to do any work in construction of the sanctuary, shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded." As you read through this, you read that there's all kinds of gifts. And so what I would say to you is, don't sit here and say, "I wish I had the gift of being a politician," which I really don't know that anybody asked for that. But anyway, someone probably does somewhere. You know, "I wish I had the gift of this." Take whatever gift you've got and use it and realize that every gift is important. Many, many years ago, actually it was when Mackenzie was a little baby, so you know that was over two decades ago, I was in church and I actually said, "What is the most important job in the church?" It wasn't here, you know, it was before we came here. And someone said, "What you're doing?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you, it's very important, but really what's important is everything everyone's doing." And I'm going to say very bluntly to you, this is what I said to him that day, right now to me the most important job in this church is the person that's down there in the nursery, because they've got my little baby Mackenzie. And my mind is not on the gospel as much, is not on what you need. If I'm like, "Is my little baby safe for that nursery worker? Do they know how to change a diaper? Do they know what they're doing?" And actually, if that nursery worker is bad, you know, that's it. You know, many people, you would never see them again. And so sometimes we miss it. Every gift is important. And every gift is to be celebrated. Paul wrote a lot about this in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, "Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant." He says, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." And then he says in verses 12 and 13, "So just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the same Spirit." So he says, you need everything in your body, right? Do you have anything that's not important? Well, you know, we know our head's important. You can't live without your brain. You can't live without a heart. You know, you can live without your leg, but you sure don't want to, do you? You can live without these fingers, but you sure don't want to. And his point is, especially within the church, every gift matters. And if the pinky's not there, you know, it can go around and say, "Well, no, that important." Or one of the eyes is not, or one of the ears is not. The church is not what it ought to be. And so when you go back and look in Exodus 35 and 36, he's making it clear everybody's got a role. Everyone is important. And there's some people that just gave to this effort because they didn't have these kinds of skills. But everyone is important, and everyone is to be on mission for the Lord. We've been sold a bill of goods that you do one thing on Sunday and something different happens on Monday. Or let's put it another way. We've been sold a bill of goods that says there is a separation between the sacred and the secular. That is not of the Lord. The Lord is saying, and you see an example here, these people received these gifts. They received their aptitude, their skills from God Almighty. And so everything you do is a gift that you are to use for the Lord. And so you're to always be thinking about how you're living your life. You're always to be doing, giving God every square inch of your life, serving Him. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, what they say? That you would give your body as a living sacrifice. So it's not like, okay, I've done my work, I'm going to lay back and rest. It's like it's a never-ending process. And if you wrap your mind around that, it's a lot, and it can also kind of be overwhelming. And people say, so really, I've got to be on guard? I've got to be serving the Lord 24/7? Really? That's what God's called you into doing. And so some people will look and say, well, that's just too hard. And so it's important to come back and say to us that this is a wonderful thing that we've been given, and to say to us what, and to say what God has given us. Remember God's gift to you. Well, I don't feel like being a godly person or giving it my all in the classroom or giving it my all at work or giving it my all, you know, in what we're doing here at the church, the fall festival or the nursery or teaching a class or whatever. Remember God's gift to you. And long ago, David wrote, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me?" I cannot outgive God. I cannot give God too much. I can't give Him too much of my time. I can't give Him too much of my money. I can't give Him too much of my talents because of all He's done for me. And so, in a way, when you give of yourself, you are becoming more like God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God calls you to give, but He will never call you to give more than He has already given for us. So I ask you, as you think about what's happening in our nation right now, what will happen on Tuesday, a lot of people are worried. What's going to happen with the election and so forth? Let's say this. What happens to this country is determined by people like you. You will have more impact on that coworker. You're going to have more impact on that classmate. You're going to have more impact on your family members than whoever becomes the president, whoever is placed in the Supreme Court, or whoever gets elected to Congress, or dog catcher, whatever it is. You're the one that they see day in and day out. And we exercise our right to vote. We pray that it'll go God's way. We pray that people will follow Him. But what's more importantly for us is to realize I have God-given gifts. I have a God-given aptitude, God-given personality. And as I go to work, as I go to church, as I'm interacting with my family, am I fanning the flames of these gifts God has given me? And am I letting Him take them and use my best for Him? Father, we ask that You'll help us to realize that You have given each and every one of us particular gifts. You have given each and every one of us a particular personality. Help us not, Lord, to long to be like someone else. Help us to realize that in Your eyes, we are special. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And just like these people so long ago came together and worked together and used their gifts, their talents for You, help us to be that way, whether it be here at our church, whether it be within our families, whether it be as we go to work or we go to school. Help us, Lord, to do life with You by giving our best to You. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want you to think about what you do with your time, what you do with your talent and your money that the Lord has given to you. Do you give Him as you ought? Do you give Him every square inch or every waking hour of your day? Or do you say, no, this part's for the Lord, this part's for me, this is my time? Do you see it all as His time? Maybe this morning your commitment is to give it all to Him and ask God to work through you and take you and use you. Maybe you can't do that this morning because you don't really know the Lord as your Savior. or would you ask Him into your life right there where you sit, or if you prefer, come to this altar and do it here. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life. I commit to following You until the day I die. You know what you need to pray. Pray it right now. Father, we ask that You'll help us to be all that we can be for You. Help us to be used of You for Your honor and glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask these things. Amen.